So today is June 19, 2050, in Sasana era 2559. Searo have been expounding the Four Noble Truths last days. So today Searo will continue this topic, explaining Dukkha Sajja in detail. So in the Mahasatipatthana Sutra, there is the section or the Dhamma Nupassana, the section on the observation of the Dhamma. And there are four noble truths are mentioned. So the Buddha said four noble truths need to be known as they really are. Ida bhikkhu bhikkhu, dukkhaṃ, ariyā sacchaṃ, yathā bhūtaṃ, pajānāti, and so on. The monk, this dukkha should be known as it is. And then there is samudaya sacchaṃ, the source of the suffering or the cause of the suffering, known to the ariyā, noble people. And then the cessation of suffering, true cessation of suffering, known to the noble people, and then mega sajja, true practice, leading to the cessation of suffering, known to the noble people. So the dukkha sajja, samudaya sajja, nirodha sajja, and dukkha nirodha gamini ariya sajja, or mega sajja. So in this way, there are four kinds of noble truth, or the four noble truth known to noble people. So these four kinds of truth are known as ariya sajja, because the only noble people can fully or distinctively realize these four kinds of truth. However, the first two kinds of the noble truth can be known to the meditators. These first two kinds of noble truth is called the worldly or mundane truth. So we yogi here have to observe these first two kinds of noble truth when we develop the insight knowledge. The last two can be known only by ariya. So the last two is supramundane truth. So the first noble truth is described by the Buddha as the Gatanja Bhikkhave, Jatipi Dukkha, and so on. Here the Buddha said birth is suffering, aging is suffering, and death is suffering, sorrow, limitation are suffering, and then mental and physical distress are suffering, association with the someone we hate also suffering, and a departing from beloved also suffering. And then in conclusion, the Buddha said, in essence, the five aggregates of mind and body themselves are suffering. So dukkha suffering is classifying into several ways. The first is three kinds of dukkha. Dukkha, viparinama dukkha, and sankhara dukkha. Dukkha means the real dukkha. Viparinama dukkha means the changing suffering, the suffering or changes. And sankhara dukkha means the suffering or condition phenomena. And dukkha is also divided into two kinds, patisana dukkha, apatisana dukkha, the evident dukkha and unevident dukkha. And then Pariyaya dukkha, Nibriyaya dukkha, Riya dukkha, conventional dukkha, and so on. So in this way, dukkha is classified into several kinds. The first of all, Sarah would like to explain the dukkha. Here, dukkha means real dukkha. It refers to the mental and physical distress. It is a real dukkha, real pain, real unpleasantness and illness, like a bodily illness or diseases, or the pain, or the mental distress, like the unhappiness, unsatisfactoriness, and discontent, and so on. So the yogis here also can obviously experience these kind of dukkha, which includes pain or numbness, ache, itchiness, heat, and so on. And then while we are sitting also, we can experience these kinds of dukkha, physical suffering, and also mental suffering, like the painful memory appear to us, and we feel unhappy and sad, and so on. These kind of mental and physical distress are called dukkha. But there is a difference between a meditator and someone who never practiced meditation. The ordinary people, normal people, when they encounter the pain or unpleasant sensation, they feel really painful because they think it is me who is in pain. But for a yogi, if they are mindful, they know the pain. They know the pain is pain. They don't identify the pain as I or mine. Then they find the true nature of the pain. So pain is not really fully inflict the meditator, the mindful meditator. So this is the difference between a meditator, a mindful meditator, and someone ordinary people. So second kind of dukkha is called viparinama dukkha. It is the suffering or the changes. It refers to the pleasure or the blissfulness, in Pali, sukha. So sukha is a pleasurable feeling. But sukha always leave the displeasure behind when it disappears. Sukha is pleasure is impermanent. When it leaves, it always leaves displeasure behind. So the sukha changes into the displeasure when it disappears. So for example, when we see someone lovable or something lovable, we feel happy. Then when we lose the sight of the beloved, we feel suffer. And in the same way, when we eat delicious food, we happy. And the delicious food is not available or somebody to take it away, and then we feel unhappy. So the pleasure, since we have pleasure, is always leave behind the displeasure when they disappear. So the viparinama dukkha means the pleasure, since we have pleasure. So for example, there are people who were born with a silver spoon in mouth. So they are very rich. The whole life they enjoy sensory pleasure. For some reason, they may lose their wealth, and they don't even know how to live a life without wealth. So they can even encounter, even experience the severe kind of the suffering. It is like someone falling down from somewhere high. So, for example, someone falling down from a place high as 1 or 2 feet, and not very painful. But if we fell down from the somewhere 4 or 5 feet or higher, and then will be very painful. So, in the same way, so rich people, wealthy people, when they become poor, they will be definitely painful. Their life will be definitely suffering, even more severe than normal people. So the pleasure, sensual pleasure itself is regarded as dukkha, suffering. Because sensual pleasure always leave the displeasure behind when they disappear. So the third kind of dukkha is sankhara dukkha, the suffering or the conditioned phenomena. Literally, it refers to the neutral feeling and all kinds of mental and physical phenomena except the pain, real pain and pleasure. So they are called sankhara dukkha. Actually, sankhara dukkha refer to all kinds of mental and physical phenomena, including all kinds of the pain or pleasures. So that's why Mahasi Sayadaw composed a poem for yogis. Whatever is conditioned, called sankhara, and they are all dukkha. So in essence, so mind and body, which are conditioned and subject to impermanence, are called dukkha in essence. So here, rebirth, patisandhi is defined by the Buddha as the reborn to a certain society and becoming, or the initial becoming, or becoming in a egg, or the immediate rebirth, and then appearance of 5 aggregates, or appearance of the sense bases like the eye, ear, and so on. So this is the definition of the jati, the patisandhi rebirth. So this patisandhi is divided into 4 kinds. The first one is, patisandhi means beginning of a life. It's of 4 kinds. The first one is upapatti. Upapatti means someone is born and fully grown. They refer to the heavenly rebirth, like the Deva, Brahma, and also hopeful rebirth, like the Beta, or hungry ghost, or thirsty ghost, or the being in the hair. They are born fully grown. So they are called upapatti, patisandhi. The second kind of birth is called sansedana. They are beings like the insects and seasonal bugs or seasonal insects. They mostly are born from the wet place, like the muddy place, or the somewhere the muddy and the mop. So they are called sansedaja. So the last two is andaja and zalabuja. Andaja mean the egg-born beings, like the chicken or birds, which are born from the egg. So egg-born beings, antaja. And the last one is jalabuja, the beings born in the from the mother's womb, like the human beings or animals like dog, cat, and so on. So how our birth is formed? So for human beings, what the birth means? So human beings started with the mothers and the fathers, you know, the sperm and the mother's ovary. Based on the ovary and the father's, and then there is three sets of the physical phenomena arise. So these first phenomena are mainly wholly attributed to the past karma. So the human life is a result of our good karma, the wholesome karma we have done in the previous life. There are three pairs or three sets of the physical phenomena in the first moment of our life. The first set is called Kaya Dasaka, and the second is Bhava Dasaka, and then the third is Vattu Dasaka. So these three sets of the physical phenomena are caused by our past karma, good karma. So what Kaya Dasaka means? Kaya Dasaka means the tenfold or ten kinds of the physical phenomena led by bodily sensation or the bodily phenomena. So this is not very difficult to count 10 kinds of the Gaya-led, body-led, the bodily sensitivity is called Yakaya. These the first 10 set, the first set of 10 phenomena are led by bodily sensitivity. We call Kaya Pasada. It's not very difficult to count. It includes, first of all, four fundamental elements: earth element, water element, wind element, and fire element. And then there's the objects like the vana, visible form, and ganda, smell, and rasa, taste, and oja, nutriment. Yeah. And then jivita, the physical vitality. So altogether nine. And then another one to add is the bodily sensitivity. So altogether, we have 10 kinds of the physical phenomena. This is the first set of the 10 kinds. It includes 10 kinds of physical phenomena led by bodily sensitivity. And then the second set of 10 phenomena is called Bhava Dasaka. Bhava Dasaka is only different in terms of the gender. So the first nine, the earth element, water element, so on. And then we put the male or female gender. And then we have the second set of 10 phenomena, 10 physical phenomena. And then the last set of the 10 physical phenomena is Vattu Dasaka. And also the same as previously, first we take nine physical phenomena, earth element, water element, and so on. And then One more to add is Watu. And so Watu means Hareya. It refers to the certain kinds of physical phenomena. Mostly it exists in our heart. So altogether, we have 10 kinds of physical phenomena led by the certain kinds of heart, the phenomena in the heart. So altogether, we have 3 sets of the 10 kinds of phenomena. They are all we have when we born in the first moment of our birth. And also there are consciousness, the first moment of consciousness, we call Patisandhi Chaita. And then it's associated mental factors. That's all. 3 sets of the physical phenomena, and one rebirth consciousness, and it associated mental factors. These are formed as a rebirth for human being. So it is quite important for all of us to understand how rebirth or birth is formed, because there are many wrong views regarding life or rebirth. So we need to understand how death and rebirth. So some people think this life rebirth is something transmigrates from this old life to the new life. And others, they thought this is the first and the last life. There's no life before or after this life. But as mentioned earlier, some people think life is kind of eternal. The transmigrates from one life to another like a bird. So a bird flying from one tree to another. So in the same way, certain kinds of souls or something migrates from this present life to another. So these are wrong view. So that's why it's important for us to understand how we become reborn. So how we were reborn. As a yogi, we can understand actually if we understand the process of the mind and the body. When we observe the mind and the body, we discern the mental and physical phenomena newly arise and pass away immediately afterward. So mind and body, mental and physical phenomena arising and passing away every moment. And every moment they are changing. So if we understand this natural process of the mind and body, we can understand what the death and rebirth means. So as mentioned earlier, as a human being, in the first, very, very first moment of life, we only have three sets of the physical phenomena, and the first mind movement, or the rebirth consciousness, and its associated mental factors. That is what we call human rebirth. And in the previous life, or the past life, so there is a death consciousness, or death moment. As soon as we die, or as soon as there arises death consciousness, and there arises immediately this Patisandhi Chaita, the rebirth consciousness follows. So there is no gap between a death consciousness or the past life and a new consciousness and the new life. So it's also very interesting for us to know our experience on our deathbed or at our last moment. So there are three kinds of signs we can experience, or we definitely experience one of the signs at our last moment in this life. They are karma, karma nimitta, and gati nimitta. Karma and karma related sign, and a rebirth related sign. So one of the three signs will be prominent to us. So as a human being, our karma, or the rebirth generated karma, our rebirth generated karma is of course wholesome, kusala mind, wholesome mind. So we can experience the karma in our last moment as an action or wholesome actions. We are carrying out newly carrying out the wholesome karma. That's we call karma. We may experience karma at our last moment. Or maybe karma nimitta. Karma nimitta means the objects or things we experience when we perform the wholesome deeds in our life. Well, for example, we once offer food to the monks. And then that karma, that kusala karma, will be the one who bring about the rebirth consciousness. Then we may happen to see in our mind's eyes, like the monks, or we offer food, or the food we offer to the monks. These kind of the objects, which were present when we do good karma, they may reappear to us, or we may see or hear in our mind's eyes. These are called karma nimitta, karma related or karma generated, the sign we can experience at our last moment. And then gati nimitta means rebirth related sign or our destiny related sign. So if we were born, for example, if we are to be born as a human being, we are most likely to see our mother's womb. That's if we were to be reborn as a human. Or if we are to be reborn as a deva or celestial being, and we may happen to see in our mind's eye, like the heavenly garden or heavenly abode and so on. Or if we were reborn in a woeful state, like hungry ghosts or the hair, and we may see something related to our destiny. So these are called gati nimitta, the rebirth-related sign we can experience at our last moment. So at our last moment, we definitely experience one of these three signs. So the last moment of life, or death, is called death. We call the jyoti chaita, the last moment of mind in a life, or dying, death consciousness, literally. So our death consciousness take one of these three signs, and then death consciousness is immediately succeeded by rebirth consciousness. So death consciousness in this life and rebirth consciousness in the new life both take the same object, one of the three objects. So as mentioned earlier, the first moment of our life is we start with the three sets of the physical phenomena, and they are all generated by our karma. They are all karma-born physical phenomena. And then the consciousness, the first moment of consciousness, and then the mental factors. So very small, and gradually we grow as and become adult. So the first moment of our life is there is only three sets of the physical phenomena and the consciousness, the rebirth consciousness, and associated mental factors. So in view of these phenomena, obviously there is no pain or unpleasant sensation is there. That means there is no dukkha. Then why rebirth is described as dukkha, suffering? So simply because these mental and physical phenomena are the very source of the suffering. They are all subject to suffering. It is like a criminal case. In a criminal case, the criminal is sentenced to death or the prison or the verdict is decided as imprisonment and so on. The verdict itself cannot be called any suffering, but it is the beginning of the suffering, or is the source of the suffering. So in the same way, at the moment of the patisandhi, rebirth, at the moment of rebirth, there is no unpleasant sensation or no pain, but exactly it is the source of the suffering to come. That's why the Buddha described patisandhi, the birth is suffering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.